Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
With us today, and hope you had a very nice Christmas, and looking forward to a great new year, and so enjoy the time that you have with your family and friends and loved ones. And today, since this is the day, we're recording this for the day after Christmas, I want to look at some of the scriptures about Jesus and what he was to do. Because, again, a lot of times we just totally disassociate what God's plan was from government. And in reality, there is such a connection that it's hard to believe we have just turned our heads from it and closed our eyes to it. But if you would, a very familiar passage is where I want to start, and that's Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Again, just pointing out there that he says, one of the first comments is, "And the government will be upon his shoulder." The government will be upon his shoulder. Now, Jesus, if you would, when you look at the passages of Scripture, and we'll look at one a little bit later, when the angel announced about Jesus being born and he was talking to Mary, he identified that he would be a king. And if you would hear, the government will be upon his shoulders. Jesus was born to be a king. Now, we understand that in the times of Jesus, that they were strictly just looking for a king, not realizing that there was a twofold part to the plan of God, and that that kingship is not going to reach its full maturity until later, actually in the millennial reign of Christ. But he's not waiting to the millennium to be a king. He is a king now. Jesus, after he was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 28. "All authority, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me." He is the king. Christ is the king. And government heads up in him, even today. So often we look at government as being totally separate from God and spiritual things. But in reality, it all heads up in him. All government is ultimately responsible and accountable to Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord means the one in supreme authority. So it doesn't matter what form of government it is. It can be a kingdom, a monarchy, or some other form of government. Whatever the form, whoever is the supreme in authority in that, Jesus is supreme in authority over all of it now. And ultimately, all of those in authority will have to give an account to him. They will be accountable to him because, if you look in Psalms 2, the nations are the inheritance that was given by God the Father to Jesus the Son. So they belong to him now. He's just not enforcing that. There will come a day when he will enforce that. But that's not right now. Jesus, the government will be upon his shoulders. And then down in verse 7 it says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The increase of his government. Jesus is the head of God's governmental kingdom. He's the head of it. And it is a government. It's just not that there's God. Too often we're too simplistic in our thinking. And that comes from not paying attention to certain things in Scripture. God has a government. And when you look and study the Scripture, you'll find out that there's different layers to that. Just think about the book of Revelation. It says that the 24 elders surround the throne. And at different times, they bow and kneel before the throne. And it says they lay their crowns down before the Lamb, down before Jesus. See, we just think about that very frequently too shallow. If they are sitting on a throne, these 24 elders, they are sitting on thrones and they have crowns. A crown is the symbol of authority within a government. So these 24 elders have, if you would, jurisdictions that they rule over. They are a part of the heavenly government over the earth. They are a part of that. Paul talked about the different types of crowns that would be given. All of those crowns are connected to some part of God's government. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, God wants to bring peace. One of the things that we're really missing in our world today is peace. And the best way to get it is to let him guide and direct all that we're doing, even in relationship to government. We'll say a little bit more about that right after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
Okay, to go back to what we were talking about there, that the government is on his shoulders. Again, this is a verse about the birth of Christ that we just celebrated yesterday. And the thing I would ask you is the shoulders. The government is on his shoulders. Where are the shoulders? Are they in the head or are they in the body? Well, obviously, they're in the body. So from that, then Christ, part of this prophecy, if you would, is that he will be the head of the government. And like the 24 elders and even others throughout time and history and us now, we are all a part of his governmental system. We are a part of what he is endeavoring to do in the earth. He prayed. Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. God is executing his government in heaven. He wants his government, his will, executed on earth. Now, with this, let me just draw a distinction, because very often people have certain things in mind when you start talking about this, and I've alluded to it a little bit, but I want to go just a little bit further in talking about what I'm not saying when I discuss this. I am not talking about creating a theocracy. Now, a theocracy is where religious leaders, people who are the leaders of various religious groups or even a particular religious group. See, in Islam, there are a number of nations that they have a religious leader. You know, in Iran, when they went through the revolution there and the government was toppled, and Khomeini was the Ayatollah. He took over. He was a religious man. It came under Islam. It was the religion that was dictating to the government. That is a theocracy. That's not what I'm talking about. When God is talking about his kingdom being expressed in government on the earth, he's not really addressing a theocracy. God established civil government, and Jesus established the church. Both of those have leaders. In other words, it would be like, again, in Islam, it would be the Ayatollah dictating to the government. That's theocracy. If it was, you know, Catholicism, then it would be the Pope dictating to the government, which is really what the Holy Roman Empire, if you remember from your history, that's what that was. Those are not the setup that God has really prescribed in his word. Those things are separate. If you look back at the children of Israel, they had the prophet, the priest, and the king. Those ministries, those offices, had distinct functions. If you would, the prophet and the priest did not control the king, but they were designed to be an influence on the king. And when they had a godly king, then the prophets and the priest were a positive influence in their administering of the government of the nation. But then the king had the right, if you would, to ignore God and his word. And if the priesthood was serving God, because there were times when the priesthood wasn't. Eli and his sons, they weren't doing the job that they were supposed to be doing. There are other stories in the Old Testament. If you look in Kings, you'll read the stories about where they had a whole lot of prophets, but there would only be like one or two that were actually true to God. So there can be problems in any of those areas. But it's best when all three of those areas are subject to God. And at that point, that's when the government functions well. The priesthood was not over the king. The prophet was not over the king. The king didn't dictate to the priests or the prophets. Now, they could punish them and persecute them and stuff, but that's different. That moved away from what God had it set up. And so, you see, his government, we're supposed to be an influence. We're supposed to be having an impact. The government will be upon his shoulders. You know, I want to read another scripture here in Luke chapter 2, verses 31 through 33. This is when the angel Gabriel was talking to Mary. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." In talking about the kingdom, the government will be upon his shoulders, and the increase of his government, there will be no end. Here he says that his kingdom, there will be no end to his kingdom. God's growth, if you would. God is ever expanding, and we're supposed to be a part of that. His will is to be done on earth as in heaven. That doesn't remove anyone's free will, but God desires for every person to be obedient to him, and we are a part of making that happen, helping that, being an influence. If you would, stay with us through this commercial break, and we will be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977, producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back, and I want to look a little bit more at that verse in Luke chapter 2, where he's talking about, Luke chapter 1, where he's talking about the angel Gabriel is referencing to Mary, about Jesus will be great. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign in his kingdom. See, those three terms, throne, reign, kingdom, again, that identifies Jesus as a king. He's a king. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you see, far too often, we forget that dynamic. You see, when a lot of times, let me back up just a little bit here, and our perspective is very important. We largely look at the birth of Jesus as God intruding or coming into the world, which he did come into the world, but that's not the whole story. Again, you go back to Genesis. God created the earth. He created the entire universe. He made this planet. He put Adam and Eve here. The intruder was the serpent. The intruder was the devil. God, it's amazing, in Genesis 2, God told Adam to tend and to keep the garden. Tend, to cultivate. Keep means to protect. Well, what did he need to protect it from? It would have probably been a good thing for Adam to ask that question. What do I need to keep the garden from? I'm supposed to cultivate it and protect it, keep it. What do I have to be concerned about? What eventually happened is the devil, through the serpent, tempted Eve. Eve and Adam both ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil came into this world, and largely what then began to happen is a culture, if you would, of evil began to develop on the earth. That wasn't the original culture. The original culture is what God created and put in the garden with Adam and Eve. He saw that everything that he had made was good. But Satan came in, and as a result of that, evil came in, and God had to restore. A phrase that Jesus used was, he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, when did it get lost? And what's he going to save? Well, it got lost when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam fell, if you would, he committed that sin. He allowed access to this world. He allowed the devil to have access to this world. He failed to keep it. And I would present to you that today we have that same mandate to tend and keep the garden. We're responsible to cultivate and to protect. We're supposed to do both of those. And if you would, Jesus, in coming to seek and save that which was lost, that dominion, that access that the devil had, which he still has access here at this moment, but as God told Eve, he said the serpent will bruise his heel, but he will bruise the serpent's head. That phrase, bruising the head, means breaking the lordship over. And Jesus, in Matthew 28, when he was resurrected, he said, all authority or all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. He brought that dominion back into the hands of someone godly. That was lost. When Adam sinned, that was lost. As the psalmist said, you know, the earth is the earth God has given to the children of men. God said, let us make man, let them have dominion. Dominion was given to humanity. You know, it amazes me. Some people say, well, you know, why do bad things happen on this earth? It's because humanity is the one on in charge here, and we have sinned. Adam sinned. We've all sinned. That sin, the wages of sin is death. That's why there is so much death in the earth, is because sin has been given access. If humanity had not done that, if Adam and Eve had not done that, then we would not know evil today. The knowledge of evil has come through disobedience. Jesus, again, now he has sought and he has saved that which was lost. He has gotten the dominion back into the hands of a godly man. He's the God-man, all God, all man. The authority is back in the hands of a godly man, Jesus. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is seeking to save that which is lost. At that point, humanity lost a relationship with God. Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has paid the price, and we can be restored to the position that humanity had with God before Adam sinned, before we sinned. We can be in right standing with God through Jesus. He has saved that for us again. That's why when we accept him, we are now saved. Jesus has put us back to that place. And now that we're back to that place, then we're still at that mandate that God gave Adam, tend and keep, cultivate and protect. That is our responsibility, to cultivate and protect the earth. If you would, government, there is not a piece of property on this planet that is not really under the jurisdiction of some government. Now, there might be some little pieces of land sticking up out in the ocean that's not big enough for somebody, but still, there's somebody that claims it. Matter of fact, right now, there's a piece of land off the island of Haiti that has been being disputed. It's not a major dispute. Has been being disputed between Haiti and the United States for like 120 years. And there's not a single person that lives on the island. But it's still under dispute on who owns it. Governments dictate and control what happens on property. And with this, we, humanity, people who have been restored back to the position, we are responsible to cultivate and protect God's will in any area. Well, stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back. And again, you know, our main purpose here, we're wanting to teach and gain an understanding of what God's Word says about government. Like a couple messages that I did recently on adding a lampstand. A light is not given to be put under a bushel. It's to be put on a lampstand and provide light. You see, ultimately, if you would, we look at our current situation and we see problems. And those problems have been increasing for several decades in our country. And it's really not about just one party from that standpoint. It has been declining ever since. And that is because, in general, our country has been moving away from biblical principles, a biblical understanding of what God says about government and how it should function. Again, as I stated earlier, we're not talking about a theocracy where religious leaders rule the government. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about civilians, if you would, that understand godly principles and implement those principles, and not where everybody has to be a part of that faith. That's not the case. But see, ultimately, a very quick example, murder and punishing murder is consistent with the scripture. That's the type of thing we're talking about. There's things that are consistent with scripture. You don't have to be a Christian to believe that murder is wrong. But as a Christian, a follower of the Bible, I believe murder is wrong. Those are the types of things specifically in a very basic level that we're talking about. Now, let's go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And this is a prophecy about Jesus. As a matter of fact, when the wise men came and asked, where is the king of the Jews to be born? And King Herod called the religious leaders and asked them, where is he supposed to be born? They referenced Micah 5, 2, and it says this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." And he actually references later on that he will shepherd his people. You see, Jesus was born to be a ruler. Out of you, he said, the one to be ruler in Israel. Out of Bethlehem, he will come. Jesus was born to be ruler. Right now, we have the opportunity individually and collectively to choose to yield to him. We have the opportunity individually and collectively to submit to him of our own free will. You see, in Matthew 25, it talks about the sheep and goat nations, that he'll come and judge the nations. He'll put the sheep on his right. He'll put the goats on his left. These, and again, one of the things we have to understand, he will be doing this judgment from his throne. And so let's just say, even with everything that happens through the tribulation right now, we're either just past or almost past 7 billion people on this planet. Let's just say that at this moment in time that Matthew 25 is referring to, that there's half of those people here. That would be 3.5 billion people. Jesus will be on his throne in Jerusalem. You can't get 3.5 billion people in Jerusalem. Not going to happen. So with that, it's not that this is a judgment of the individuals of all nations. That is a judgment of the nations. It's a judgment of the governments. How did they function? And with both of them, to the sheep, he says, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was sick and you comforted me. I was in prison and you visited me. And to the goats, to the unrighteous, if you would, he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. He goes through down through the same thing. Basically, what this is identifying is how the nations treat his family. If you've done it or haven't done it unto the least of these my brethren, then you either have done it or haven't done it unto me. If you would, that's his brethren are the Jewish people and people of the Christian faith from that standpoint. So this is about how the nations have addressed the Jews and the believers. And that is the criteria for the sheep nations and the goat nations. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but especially in the world, there has been a greater inclination among the world, the nations of the world, to not like Israel, to not support Israel, even here in our own country, to not support Christians, to not support people of the Christian faith. Those nations that would fall into that category would be the goat nations. They are not functioning as a nation the way God would want them to function. The sheep nations, on the other hand, would be supporting Israel, would be supporting people of the Christian faith, and they will be the sheep nations. He's to rule. Everything that's going on, what governments are doing, they will eventually have to give an account to Jesus. Thank God he came. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Again, I pray that you have had a great Christmas and also that you would have a blessed and prosperous new year. See you next year.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.